Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor John, and Leah, and the whole team here today. It's nice to see your daughter, Hannah, up here today on the guitar, and her little boy, Cash. He's already comfortable on the stage.
I noticed that.
Praise the Lord. Wanted to be up here with his mama. Hallelujah. Well, it's Pentecost Sunday. If you give me my screens now, I'm going to get a turn to the book of Acts. You can't talk about the Holy Ghost without talking about the book of Acts. And I want to talk to you specifically today about something that happened on Pentecost that's still for today. It's the language of the Spirit. Because I believe that this tongue, this gift of one of the nine gifts of the Spirit that came forth on the day of Pentecost, it was really the focal point of what happened that day. And there's a reason for that. You know, it caused quite a stir among the people that heard this going on because they literally heard them speaking in their own language. There were a multitude of different dialects and tongues of people there for the feast. And they heard this going on in the upper room, and they heard all of them up there start to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Well, the Bible says they all heard it in their own language. They heard them giving praise to God. Hallelujah. And I think that was part of the miracle. I want to talk about this today because it's not only a supernatural sign to believers, but it's a supernatural sign to unbelievers. And for this church, it's kind of the benchmark of the revival that started this ministry. Because remember, Pentecost happened in our small Mennonite church years ago. In fact, you prayed for my family last week. We went up there to this little church to lay my father's body to rest alongside of my mother's in the cemetery. Maybe I'll show you a picture of our family that went up there this past week. Thank you for your prayers. And we had another celebration of life up there for the people in one of the churches that we were part of starting up there. And it was just a wonderful time again to celebrate what the Lord has done. And I want to tell you that on Pentecost Sunday, the word Pentecost, by the way, means 50. This happened 2,000 years ago, but this day is marked, as we read in Leviticus 23, as being 50 days after what we celebrate as Easter, or the Feast of First Fruits. And Jewish people call it the Feast of Weeks, and it is that appointed time. And I want to declare today that it's going to be an appointed time for some of you to get your prayer language or to get more fluency in your prayer language. And I believe that the more you speak in tongues, the more fluent you become. There are diversities of tongues the Bible talks about. But God told me, some years ago as we were preaching on this subject, God told me that it's imperative for everyone in this church to speak in tongues. You don't have to, but you're allowed to. And so we welcome you to desire that and to receive it from the Lord. Let me tell you, the more you learn about it, the more you're going to want to, because it draws you in relationship. It's not about being more religious. It's about having more relationship, a language of God that God speaks through you, and then he can actually interpret it to your understanding. But it can help you to edify your life. It can help you in intercession. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. But I'm excited about it because it made the difference in my life. In my senior year of high school, as a teenager, I'd grown up with parents that were preachers, and I saw a lot of this going on around me. But it wasn't until my senior year of high school, I was 17 years old, on the floor in this church, that I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. And I'm going to tell you, it made all the difference in my life, just like the disciples. I got bolder in my faith. And for the first time, I was fully aware that God's Spirit was in me and was residing with me, and it made me bolder for Christ. Well, Jesus instructed the disciples that they were to go to Jerusalem just before he ascended into heaven. If you turn to Acts chapter 1, I'm going to paraphrase it so that we can move a little faster. But he said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. Somebody say the gift. God has gifts for us. And there are 9 gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll put them up here in a moment. But, you know, a gift is something that is freely given, but it needs to be received. Now, the Bible says that we should covet earnestly the best gifts. You're not supposed to covet, but one thing you can covet, the gifts of God. And I personally feel like besides the gift of miracles and the gifts of healing, that the best gift is a gift that draws you closer in relationship with your Heavenly Father, the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Because how wonderful would it be if there was a language of God that you could learn, that he could speak through you, that you don't understand, but while it's happening, it's edifying you, and it's a tool for God to intercede with you for his perfect will in your life. And how beautiful would it be if he had another gift for the interpretation of that tongue, so he could speak through you and then interpret it in your language to your understanding? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, guess what? It's there. It's available to us. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So this is a spiritual baptism. Now, we're still baptizing people with water. It says in Romans 6 that if you're willing to be buried with him in baptism, like water is like a form of the grave. You can't live under there. So we put you under the water, bring you right back up. If you're a terrible bad sinner, maybe we'll hold you down a little longer. But we'll bring you back up. And the Bible says you will come up in newness of life. So the water is a symbol. But we see in Scripture that there's another baptism called the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And this is a spiritual baptism. John the Baptist says, I baptize with water, but there's one coming after me, Jesus, who will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with
fire.
Fire. Somebody say fire.
Fire.
Fire. You got to say fire.
Fire.
Well, sorry, this is a Pentecostal church, you know. Now, I know that some of you come from more laid-back denominations. I know our family did. I come from Mennonite descent, Old Order Mennonite. Now, this would have been too gaudy. I got buttons, not allowed in the Mennonite church. No instruments allowed in the Mennonite church. But when God showed up in our Mennonite church, it looked a lot like Pentecost. We didn't believe in tongues. But all these Mennonites were speaking in tongues. What are you going to do? You know, when God shows up, he makes a believer out of you. So on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says there was 120 in one accord, in unity, praying, inviting God to give them this gift. There were men and women there. In fact, the mother of Jesus was there. And Greg and Jan, I know you have Catholic background, you'll be glad to know that the mother of Jesus, Mary, is a tongue-speaking Pentecostal. Who knew? You know, Catholic, you should know this. Because she was in the upper room. She got the Holy Ghost. And they all spoke in tongues. So it's for everybody. And it brings power. You all are familiar with verse 8 in this first chapter. Read it with me. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So much I could say about just that verse, but I want to say this. Every time I ask for a show of hands in here, how many have received a miracle or a healing that you know was from God? That's a demonstration of God's power.
I know.
And you know why God likes to do that to you? So that you can be a witness of the power. So that you can demonstrate to the world around us that there's a God that's alive at work on the earth today.
Amen.
The same God that created the universe is still healing, delivering, saving, setting people free on earth today. You're a witness of that.
Amen.
You're a testimony
Amen.
Of that. Well, every gift that God gives helps to underscore his reality on the earth today. I want to show you in Acts chapter 2, again, just what happened. I'll put it up on the screen, but I wish you'd turn to it. I've got it all underlined in my Bible, but this was at the Feast of Shavuot, as some of you know it, the Feast of Weeks. And it just, as God would have it, they tarried there for 10 days. You know, the revival in our church and in our house was 7 days. And nights, nobody went home. Here they are in the upper room, probably for 10 days and nights, just seeking God, obeying Jesus to say, I want to receive this gift. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, on that 50th day, it says, and they were all with one accord in one place, suddenly, somebody say suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled, say all filled, with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, Pentecost changed the disciples. And you see it immediately in Acts chapter 3 where Peter is preaching with a boldness that, in fact, they when they went back to synagogue, they went back to church, they passed a crippled man sitting out in front of the doors of the church. They may have passed him 100 times before, but today, full of the Holy Ghost, when they went back to church and they saw a crippled man, they couldn't pass him anymore. That's what the Holy Ghost will do for you. Remember the story, silver and gold have I none? He was asking for money. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Does anybody know that song? Sunday school. Then in Acts chapter 4, they got in trouble for doing that miracle. Because I'm going to tell you, they got in trouble by religious people. Religious people, they're okay with you just going to church. They don't care what church you attend, as long as you don't get too excited about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The reason the disciples were thrown into jail, not because they were preaching Jesus, but because they were preaching the resurrection of Jesus. I don't want anybody to get excited about that. But let me tell you what the people around them saw as different. They said, these disciples are bold. The boldness of Peter and John. And they took note that they had been with Jesus. There's anything you can say about Jesus? He was bold. Now, he had followers that were rich and followers that were poor. Men and women and people of all cultural backgrounds followed Jesus. I believe, church, that we are living in a time when the world is looking for somebody to follow. Could it be that the revival, the move of the Spirit, the awakening that we're praying for and we're believing for and this day is going to come through a people like you and I that are the remnant church of Jesus Christ. And it's not going to be because we have a church or a pulpit to preach from. It's going to be because the glory of God is going to become so apparent on you when you go to Walmart, when you go to work, that you're going to see crippled people, and you're going to say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And they're going to go walking and leaping back to this church, and they're going to find a people that's okay with dancing in the house of the Lord. Now, I don't know if we're going to do that church dance just yet, but, you know, I do the Pentecostal hop, you know, but not too much in all that. What were they doing that, the church dance? Yeah, the church clap, I guess they were saying, the church clap. It gets you moving. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. You know, a similar situation as the Pentecost here in the book of Acts happened in our little church. And you prayed for us last week as our family went up there. I'm just going to put the picture up there again. Strawberry Lake Mennonite Church. And this was taken back in the 50s. You know, it was just a small little church then. They've added on to it since then. But they were praying for revival and didn't know, you know, what they were praying for. But to see how that revival launched our family and into the whole world and literally planted thousands of churches over these past 65 years. We were just reflecting on that at the graveside. We had a service. Here's our family that was there. You prayed for us. Thank you for that. And at the graveside where I laid my father's body to rest, and my mother was there 6 years ago. And as we're just reflecting on, look what the Lord has done. I tell you what, by the way, on the left there is my two brothers. And then you see my sister Joanne and her husband Bill behind her. And there's Pastor Jeanette, my son Stephen, and me on the end there. We had a lot of time to just reflect on what God has done over the years. And my parents are more alive now than ever. And some of you have parents up there with them as well, celebrating what the Lord has done. This is the prayer house, more like it was back then. The garage is now gone, but in the prayer house, we put a new roof on it and new siding and all that. But it's still there, and it's still a house of prayer. Hallelujah. That's the original house. And we want to invite you to go up there in the summers and spend some time praying there. This is my mother in the foreground back probably in 1954 when I was, she's picking blueberries there, just out in the ditch out in front of our house there. And this is me in 1954, my 1 year birthday. When the revival happened, I was one. And so there's my face of expectation of what the Lord was going to do. And there I am with Joanne, my big sister. And I'm probably a little older there because it's a full color picture, right? I think that was a painted color picture back then. But after the revival, God launched our family into a tent revival ministry that went all over the United States. I want to bring this to your attention because, church, I believe that this revival that happened in January of 1955, it was the first fruits of a revival that we're still praying for and believing for that will be the latter rain. That was the former rain. The Bible talks about an end time revival that will be a coming together of the former rain and the latter rain. And I'm bullish on what God is still going to do in the world today. And we're praying and believing for it. So there we are as a family, traveling from city to city, fulfilling the prophetic word that God gave. You can see the billboard on the roof of our car, the big horns. This is before internet and social media. So you just drive into town and turn up the volume, and everybody knows there's a meeting going on down the road. And that's me down on the ground with Joanne and my little brother up in my dad's arms. This was our family that traveled all over. And here we were homeschooling on the road. We had a house trailer. And this is what we did. My mother walking us through the books. We all three kids played ukuleles and sang And there we are on the radio, you know, in those days. Here we are singing behind the organ under the tent. And this happened every time, every service we came up and sang as a family. I so appreciate my mom and dad's faithfulness. You can read the whole story of the revival in the book called Following the Fire. It's in our resource center back here, and you can get it online too on Amazon or whatever. By the way, I appreciate that there's people watching on Facebook, people watching on YouTube and on our website, and more of you are discovering that on YouTube that you can find the channel right on your television, and we appreciate your part of this church. Now, Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, we all know the Great Commission, Mark 16:15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, preach the good news to all creation. And these were like the final words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven. And then he said, and these signs will accompany or follow those who believe. That's us. We're believers. In my name, they shall drive out demons. And there it is. They shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. He also said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. These supernatural happenings that are happening in our midst and coming through the obedience of believers today are because of the gifts that God has given. God gave gifts for miracles, gifts for healing, and he wants them to operate through us. And one of those is the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Now, some people think that, well, this is only for what happened there on Acts chapter 2. Well, I want to inform you that it happened throughout the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 19, Apostle Paul came to the church at Ephesus, and he specifically asked them, he says, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we haven't even heard of a baptism in the Holy Ghost. And so he laid hands on them and they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. So I want to declare that this happened. It was talked about by Jesus before Pentecost. It was talked about by the apostles in various places after Pentecost. It happened to us back in 1954, and we didn't even know what it was in 55. And it's still happening in believers today that will simply ask and receive that gift. This scripture says in Acts chapter 2, for this promise, Peter said this, is for you and for your children and to all that are afar off. That might be us. We're afar off, 2,000 years later, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So I want to get you excited about this, because this gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues is really just two of the nine gifts of the Spirit that are talked about there in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 10. It says that God's given these to every man to profit with them. This is how God reveals himself on the earth today, through the gift of the working of miracles and gifts of healing. It's what we most often see. But you see, tongues and interpretation of tongues are down there. Remember in Matthew 16, when Jesus was asking the disciples, he was saying, now, who do men say that I am? And remember, it was Peter that said, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. In other words, Jesus said, you have had a spiritual revelation of who Christ is. And he says, Peter, you are the rock. And on this rock of revelation, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. And he said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in earth. Whatsoever you bind in heaven will be bound in heaven. And he said, you'll be able to forgive sins. How could we do that? By a connection with the power of the Holy Spirit. In church, this gift of tongues, praying the language of God. I'm going to show you a few other verses to help you understand. This is the language of God. It helps us to pray a more effective prayer. The Bible says that we should covet, you know, the best gifts. I believe tongues and interpretation of tongues is definitely numbered among the best gifts, because it's not about making you more religious. It's about increasing your relationship with the God you serve. If you could talk a language that God understands, wouldn't you want to inspire yourself to talk it more? Some of you today will receive more fluency, more utterance in your tongue. Apostle Paul said, I thank God I pray in tongues more than ye all. He was Southern, y'all. Yeah. I prayed in tongues this week as I was on my way to the county commission meeting. I brought that up in prayer for last week, because we had a very important decision that they had to vote on the floor. It was a paranormal circus that wanted to buy property and have a headquarters here out on State Road 70, just a couple blocks from Happy Gospel Church. So Pastor Bill Bailey was there. I was there to speak against it and to exhort them strongly to deny this request. It had already been approved before the Planning Commission, and it was just moments away from being approved by the county commissioners. The people making the request, they made their full presentation. Only problem is they never once talked about what the content of this paranormal, that doesn't sound good, does it? Paranormal circus is, until we got up and made the presentation. I pointed out that they were noticeably silent about just what is a paranormal circus. Well, it's an R-rated circus where there's nudity, there's a lot of demonstration of the occult, a very dark presentation. Children are not allowed, and even teenagers have to be accompanied by a parent. Oh, no. But this is the way the enemy gets a foothold in this nation. Evil triumphs when good people do nothing. I heard Mario Murillo, you know, who's an evangelist, you know, and prophetic voice in this time. I want to get him here. Mario Murillo, he said the Church of Jesus Christ has to become more militant. You know, we're in a battle. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to be angry or arrogant, but Jesus said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So I came into that county commission meeting and went up to the front and shook hands with the commissioners that I knew. You know, wanted them to know I'm here. Want them to be accountable. And I like to stand before the commissioners and say, you know what? We're going to take note today to how you vote on this issue. And not only the pastors that are here, but our voting congregations, our voting citizens, you know. And, you know, we're the only church that I know of that has a candidate Sunday every year that there's an election. And we invite all the candidates to come. They come to our platform. I give them 2 minutes. Of course, I'm requiring them to come with their family and sit through the worship and then hear me preach. And then at the end, we call them up and we lay hands on them and pray for them. Amen. God bless America. This in God we trust. This is a Christian nation. So, you know, inevitably, some of these people will get elected. And then they're beholden to us. And I just believe that the church needs to get more involved in all of these mountains. Amen. In all of these areas of leadership, but particularly politics. So we don't get involved in politics from a political standpoint, but we're definitely involved from a biblical standpoint. So anyway, thank you for your prayers. I want to report to you that we got a unanimous vote from the county commissioners to deny that application. So hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we're going to see more of this. We're going to see more of this. Never again are they going to take prayer out of the schools or any of this nonsense. We're not going to be asleep, you know, when they approve, you know, Roe versus Wade. We're going to hold our all of our elected officials to accountability. Amen. And it's a blessing because there's churches around that community. There's schools around the community. I told the commissioners, I said, we have thousands of children and youth that come through our children and youth camps all summer long here at this church. And none of them are allowed to go to this circus. That should tell you something. This is not a circus that as kids would imagine it to be. But that's how the enemy tries to get a foothold in your life and in our nation. And we're gonna confront it as Jesus would. Amen? So thank you for your prayers. Oh, I gotta move on here. So it's a language of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, Apostle Paul said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. You know, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the people that gathered around the upper room that heard all these languages being, the unknown tongues being spoken, they all heard it in their own tongue, in their own language. And there were, I guess, dozens of different tongue and nationalities there for the feast. And I believe many times that the Spirit of God in us allows us to speak by unction of the Holy Spirit in English. And people in out on the streets or wherever they are, even if you have no experience on the streets, they're going to hear it in their own language. They're going to receive you. You know, I had an experience like the day of Pentecost in Honduras one time when I was lining up all the pastors that had come to a pastor's conference there, and I was going to pray over each one and prophesy over each one. I had my interpreter by my side. I said, you just interpret, you know, what I speak over them in Spanish, because I'm not fluent in Spanish unless under the unction of the Holy Ghost, right? And so I started ministering one to each one, and I'd pray in tongues for a little bit, and then I'd prophesy over them what I thought God was speaking, and my interpreter would interpret it. And I'm about six or eight people down the row, and he taps me on the shoulder. He said, Pastor Phil, I thought you didn't speak in Spanish. I said, I don't speak in Spanish. He said, you're speaking in perfect Spanish, and then you're speaking in English. I was speaking in tongues. And he said it was in perfect Spanish. Boy, I wish I could just do that all the time. You know, I don't want to have to work at learning the language, Sister Millie. But it was an amazing anointing. And so I know that can even happen in today. It says in verse 4 here, Apostle Paul said, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Jude 1:20 says, talks about praying in the Spirit, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I prayed in tongues on the way to church today in the car. I prayed in tongues on the way to that county commissioner's meeting, just asking God, you know, build me up. Give me the right words to speak. And I appreciate this gift that God has given us. Apostle Paul said in later on in this chapter 14 here in 1 Corinthians, he said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, in other words, he's saying it's an act of my will. I can pray in my known tongue and I can pray in an unknown tongue. I can just activate it. He said, I'll pray with the Spirit sometimes and I'll pray with the understanding. It's a choice I can do. Now, some of you that you haven't heard yourself speak the first words yet, it's going to sound awkward when you open your mouth. And by utterance of the Holy Spirit, they in the upper room, they started speaking as the Holy Spirit inspired them. I'm going to invite, when we close here in just a few minutes, those of you that would like to speak in tongues to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost today. And we're going to lay hands on you here, just like they did in the book of Acts, and ask God to give you this gift of tongues, that you would begin to speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit gives utterance. Now, I believe all of us will speak in tongues together, and that everybody's going to get more fluency in your tongue. Because the Bible talks about there are diversities of tongues. There are tongues for different reasons. Sometimes we think of tongues as just something that's going to edify myself. But when I'm praying for somebody, Tom and Lily, when I was praying for Joshua, you know, I don't know all the details about what his need is, but I feel like I can intercede in tongues. And sometimes I hear my tongue sounding different when I'm using it for different purposes. And sometimes when I'm getting angry at the devil, you know, I know the devil can't understand tongues. Thank God for that. But sometimes I hear myself doing warfare with the enemy, and my tongue sounds different. It's a diversity of that tongue. Listen, don't put God in a box. And if you come up here and you just start speaking, it's not going to sound as polished as some of those that you've heard speaking. Don't get discouraged. You got to start somewhere. A child starts. Da, 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 da. He says da, da first and then mama. But da, 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 da. And then as he grows in fluency, da, 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 mama, mama, da, 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 mama, mama. And then mama gets excited. We have this going on. We're always trying to get our grandkids to say pop-pop first or mimi, you know. Inevitably, it's pop-pop. So I just want you to know that it's not about how it sounds. It's not about how beautiful or perfect it is, because there's a diversity of tongues. It's just about being transparent before God. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Jesus said, if you just ask the Father, he'll give it to you. He's a good Father, and he's going to give it to you. I'll show you that verse. I want us to be a tongue-speaking church. Like I said, you don't have to, but you get to in this church. But you have to activate it. You have to desire it in order for it to come to pass. Here's the scripture in Acts 26 that says the Spirit makes intercession for us. The Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we don't know how to pray as we ought. Many times people come up here and they want prayer for some physical condition, and they tell me what the diagnosis is, and I've never heard of it. You know, sickle cell anemia or whatever. And I don't know what it is. Let the Holy Spirit of God intercede more perfectly and on behalf of the perfect will of God. Sometimes people ask for prayer on something, and I don't know if it's God's will or not. Sometimes I don't know how to pray for their need that they're asking, but I pray in the Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit interprets to my understanding, prays through me, interprets to my understanding, and then I know how to pray for somebody. For years, I've disciplined myself to pray for an hour, and I run out of English words to say in about 10 minutes, and then I'm done. But then I just shift right into tongues and just pray in tongues for 45 minutes. And when I first started doing this years and years ago, and I've told you this before, I'd get things come to my understanding while I'm praying in tongues. My mind is not fruitful, as the Bible says. But I start getting thoughts about things I had to do that day. And I'd be thinking, get behind me, Satan. I'm trying to be spiritual here. But I couldn't get them off my mind until I wrote it down. And I just write every time a thought came to my mind while I'm praying in tongues, I write it down. When I'd get done praying, I'd have the best list of things to do for that day that I could ever put together by just sitting down and trying to make a list of things to do. God would tell me who I needed to call that day. And don't forget, son, to take out the garbage, because that's going to spare your marriage, you know, if you do your job. You know, so little things like that. And so I've discovered that this prayer language of tongues, one of the nine gifts, and the one after it, interpretation of tongues, it's not really given for public prophecies. Prophecy, there's a specific gift for that, prophecy. Now, Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, if tongues is spoken out loud in a gathering, not all together, but if somebody speaks out a word in tongues, pray that they interpret so that everybody can be edified. Or somebody else interpret. And that happens in this church sometimes. And it'll always be interpreted. Because if somebody else doesn't interpret, I'll interpret it. We're not going to let it go uninterpreted. But I would rather that you prophesy. Speak in tongues to edify yourself, then prophesy so everybody can hear it in our language and be edified by it. But tongues and interpretation of tongues, think about how powerful it can be in your own private prayer life. That's why the enemy has tried to keep it out of the church, because historically the Pentecostal church has tried to make it seem like it makes me more spiritual. I pray in tongues. No, it's for your private prayer life with Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. I just wanted a little bigger applaud for that point, because I want you to get it. I want to close on this. Jesus said, how do you receive it? You ask. You have not because you ask not. It says, blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, and he shall be filled. Jesus said, any of you that are hungry and thirsty, come unto me and drink, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke about the gift of the Spirit. Jesus said, if a son would ask bread of any of you fathers, would you give him a stone? Or if he would ask for a fish, would you give him a serpent? Or if you fathers would, your son would ask you for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? No. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, read it with me, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So I'm going to tell you, everybody in here today that ask God for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive it. It's done. You ask and you shall receive. He said, but I didn't speak in tongues. Well, maybe that'll come tonight by the end of this Pentecost Sunday. Maybe it'll come another time. You just keep hungering and thirsting, because it's just one of nine manifestation gifts that God wants you to manifest in your baptized in the Holy Spirit life. So don't get concerned about that. You desire it, God's going to give it to you. And we're just going to practice it a little bit here. Oh, there's the verses that I had quoted to you. Jesus said this at the Feast of Tabernacles. He saw them in the liturgy pouring out the water and wine, and he couldn't hold it back. And he cried out, hey, this is about the baptism in the Holy Ghost, he's thinking. If any of you are thirsty, come unto me and drink, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He said, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. That's us. But the Spirit was not yet given. So here he is in John chapter 7, talking about Acts chapter 2, you know, before it even came, years before it even came up. I want to close today, and I want you to know that you're in a safe place here today to receive from the Lord. And they were singing this song, Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here. I want us all to stand. And at home, too, if you would stand. I'm going to wrap it up here today. But I've been preaching all year out of 2 Timothy 1:6, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Stir up the gift of God that's within you. We're going to stir up the gift today that's within us. God wants you to learn to pray in the Spirit with more fluency, everybody. And those of you that have not heard yourself speak yet, I want you to speak today and let God speak through you. Hallelujah. Exercise the gift or become more articulate today. Hallelujah. And your utterance will become more distinct, more clear. I believe that. Put your hands on your heart. Father, today we thank you for salvation. And Lord, I just want everyone here to to receive you first if they're unclear of their salvation. Lord, we receive you. We say yes to Jesus. We believe you died on the cross. You rose from the grave. And we say yes to you. Come into my heart. Fill me with your Spirit. Lord, fill me with your empowerment today. Lord, I believe that you're my Savior, you're my Lord, and you desire to give me this gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized in your Holy Spirit. I want to receive the evidence of speaking in tongues, Lord, that it will draw my relationship closer to you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's just ask now, just in your own words, say, Lord Jesus, or actually we're asking the Father, Father in heaven, I ask you for this gift. I ask you for this gift. And as a good father, I know you want to give it to me. And I want to receive it. Let's just thank him now. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you're willing to do this. I tell you what, I want to ask those of you that you want more fluency in your tongue to come down to the front, or you've never spoken tongues, I want you to come to the front, because we're going to lay hands on you just as the Apostle Paul did. And I want you to receive today. Just come down to the front. Be bold. You're among friends here. We're being open and honest, transparent before the Lord. And if you step out, God will meet you here. Just line up along the front here. I want to ask some of my elders to come, the pastors to come. And last week, I want to thank Dr. Frank Bio for bringing the message. Brother Frank's going to come, and we're going to lay hands on you. There's going to come a point where I don't want you to speak English anymore, but I want you to say whatever the Holy Spirit is inspiring you to say. They spoke as the Spirit of God gave utterance. Utterance. It's going to be your voice, but that utterance is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, everybody at home, you can do this. If you're watching, you can do this. I want you to stand with us. You can do this. Those of you standing here in the house, you can do this. But those at the front here, we want to lay hands on you. And we're going to just invite the Holy Spirit to manifest here today. And after we do this, I don't want you to speak English anymore. I want everybody in here that can just begin to speak in tongues to go ahead and speak. But first in English, let's just thank the Lord. Let's thank him again. Lift your hands. Thank the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you, oh God, that you want to give good gifts to your children. We thank you, Lord, that you want to empower us for this dark day that we live in. And Lord, we need a closer relationship with you. And so, Father, today, now, in the name of Jesus, pour out your Holy Spirit. Baptize us in the Holy Ghost and with fire and with the evidence of speaking in tongues. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Now, I want everyone to just begin praying in tongues, speaking out loud. Let's lift up a sound in this house, and we're going to pray for these in the front. Open your mouth wide, the Bible says, and I will fill it. Open your mouth. Let there be an utterance. Let it come by inspiration of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Speak louder. Arabasika randura dia ranara rara basa. Salia la masa darara randura randura sika darara basa. Sarara dia la basa daria ramasa. Durura masika radia la basa. Sarara dia la basa darara ramasa. Durondorita dadara. Let your voice be heard. Saka dadada dadara radia da. Dara la lambasa. Don't speak in English. Don't speak in English. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You are welcome here. Gia sa dalamba sikara duro ria rara basa. A little bit louder.